All right, so I'm standing here worshiping with you, and wow, what a great morning, great songs. But I was just praying during that 10,000 Reasons song, which has become one of the most popular Sunday morning worship praise songs in the country and possibly even the world. And that song talks about 10,000 reasons. 10,000 reasons. And I know in our congregation this morning, we come here with just this. Some of us have a heaviness today. Some of us have disappointment today. Some are sad today, while others are excited and celebratory. And we've got folks who, we've got Diana, Paul's wife, is out in California because her mom has cancer and had to have lung removed. And so, like, she drives to Denver and then flies to LA from there, so she can't be with us today. I know that there are people like Sue ran in did a walk yesterday and she, like, torn a ligament or something and she just hurts. And I know that there's some sadness here today and from a couple different places. And so I'm just praying, God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And he said, eagle. This is what God said to me, eagle. And there is this place in Isaiah, and I want to give you what one of the promises that we have of those 10,000 reasons. I want to give you a promise today to start this time of worship before I jump into the message. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that these verses, wherever you are, will speak comfort and peace and power to you today. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Have you not heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fail in exhaustion. But hear these words. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. New strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that is God's promise to us. New strength. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to grab on to that one of the 10,000 reasons to worship you and to bless your holy name, to embrace this promise that you give us as we fix our eyes on you. So may you be the source of our strength and our power and our resolve. And may we firmly fix our eyes on you, the champion and the finisher of our faith. And we will give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we are in the midst of a little two-part series that I am doing on the sacraments of the church. Every year or so, I think it's just important for us to talk about these sacred or sacramental moments in the church. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth today about them because we come from a wide range of backgrounds here. We have folks from our church who used to be Catholic or Presbyterian or Baptist or non-denominational. We have people who, man, they grew up in the church and they probably know more about the church and the Bible than I do. And we have people who they are so new to the church that practically every other word they might be thinking, what in the world is he talking about? And everywhere in between. And that's the beauty of the church, is that God, through his grace, calls and draws people to places like this so that they might come to know him and experience faith in the midst of what he calls the church, the family, the body of Christ. And so I think it's appropriate for us every year or two to talk about some of the things that kind of make us who we are as a tradition. We are a United Methodist Church, which means we are what's referred to as Wesleyan, that we were founded by and our roots are rooted, first of all, in the Anglican tradition, but then later in what we just simply refer to as the Methodist or Wesleyan roots. And because of that, we have in our church things that are sacraments. Now, little backstory. I think it's appropriate today that we're talking about sacraments, specifically about baptism. We'll get to that in just a minute. That we're going to talk about this because a long time ago, actually, it feels like it's getting longer every year, because right now it'll be about 54 years ago. My parents made a decision. They made a decision to have me baptized in the tradition that that we were a part of. Back then, it actually wasn't the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church back then. It was another tradition. But they made a decision to have me baptized. And when they did that, it was a defining moment for them, for the rest of the family, for the church in which I was baptized in, and for me. Because they stood before their church family, they stood before God, and they made a promise, actually more than a promise. We refer to it as a covenant. They made a covenant with God to do everything in their power, and God knows they needed a lot of it, to raise me in a Christian environment, until I could make a decision for Christ on my own. And the church made a promise. Because we ask the church, even within our baptismal service, we say, church, family, body of Christ, will you do everything in your power to nurture this child, this youth, this adult who stands before you or is before you now in the Christian faith so that they will continue to grow and fall deeper in love with Jesus every day? Do you promise to do everything in your power to see that that happens? And the congregation says, we do. That, by the way, is one of the reasons that we want folks to be baptized in the church in which they're going to be brought up in or in which they are being nurtured in, because we think it's that important. And so my parents made this promise, and man, they stuck to it. For you children and youth who there are times you're like, do I have to go to church? Man, I was right there with you. And every single Sunday, I did not even need to wait for a reply, because I knew the answer was, yep. If you have to go in your jammies, you are going to church. I never did that because I did not want to be embarrassed, because we didn't have the nicest jammies. They weren't cool. And kind of tell you, it's really funny. When Jenny and I got married, we did this video of what we were like growing up. Jenny's brother did this. He's like so amazingly technically talented. And he did this video that had pictures of us growing up and what that was like. And then he took all of our class pictures from every year of school and morphed them. And you saw us growing up. But you know what one of my favorite pictures in like the whole video was? It was Jenny and her brother in their underoos. Jenny was Wonder Woman. And on this Mother's Day, she's still a Wonder Woman. Because she is your Mrs. Pastor. Yeah. She keeps me in line. But parents, my mom and dad made this promise. And they did everything in their power. And I believe I am who I am today because, for many reasons, but one of those being that promise. And so kids, youth, you just need to hear me. If there are those days when you're like, man, I don't want to go to church, and your mom and dad say, I don't really care, you're going to church, you need to listen and you need to go, because they know more than you do. Yeah, they do. because we are a product of our experiences. We are a product of how we've been shaped and formed by these people called moms and dads or parents. And God has given them a huge responsibility. Huge, huge. I know that now with a 5-year-old and 8-year-old. I'm like, why did I sign up for this? But really, it's a huge responsibility. And so, man, we just take that seriously. And so parents, yay rah for you. Moms especially today, yay rah for you. So my parents did this thing called baptism. Now in our tradition, we baptize children, youth, and adults. And we have lots of biblical reasons. Some of those I'm going to talk about today and some other things. But it's important for us to take a couple weeks and to talk about sacraments, these amazing moments in the life of the church. And in our tradition, some traditions like the Catholic Church have 7 different sacraments. Other traditions like ours, actually most Protestant traditions, have 2. And in our tradition, we believe that a sacrament is something that's holy. We believe that it is something that is sacred or something that is set apart and set apart by God. Andrew Thompson, in his book, The Means of Grace, amazing book that was published last year, he says, a sacrament is an act of worship that is special because it was specifically given by Christ to his followers as a way to receive him spiritually. So a sacrament is a sacred, it's a holy moment that God has given to us to experience him, to experience his grace. When what I'm going to say in just a moment is really, in many ways, in a mysterious sort of way, because we're never going to figure God out 100%. And that's good, because he's God and we're not. And there should be this mystery to God. But it's a holy moment. It's set apart. It's sacred. And even within that, it is a means of grace. We just sang about that. It is a means of grace constituted, or it means established by and commanded by the Lord. It's a means of grace constituted and commanded by the Lord. That's why we have 2. But Andrew, in his book, says grace is really, I love this, it's kind of like one of my new ways of really defining grace. Grace is really a word to describe how God is for us in every way. I love that. Grace is how God expresses to us that he is for us in every way. And so in our tradition, we have 2, constituted and commanded by God for every believer, every follower of Jesus to do. That's why we have 2 and not additional ones, because we don't believe that the other ones were both constituted and commanded by God for everyone to do. First one, Holy Communion. We also refer to this as the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. And where do we get this? We get this in places like 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 25, where Jesus says, Paul actually says, this is what I pass on to you that is most important. And he goes on and talks about the liturgy where Jesus says, this is my body which is given for you. This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we take the cup, we take the bread in remembrance of Jesus. And we talked about what communion was last week. If you missed it, you want to go online and listen to it, you can do that. That's the first of our sacraments, Holy Communion, where that we do it, we experience it, we take the bread and we take the cup to both remember what Jesus has done for us and to remember ourselves back to him and to his church. And the second one is baptism that we're going to talk about today. But again, why do we do that? Because Jesus both constituted it and commanded it for us to do. We find this in places like the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says to his disciples, go, or actually a better translation is, as you are going. So as you are going in your world, he says, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we believe that Jesus constituted and commanded that we are supposed to be making followers of Jesus and baptizing them. So we got to figure out what that is. we got to figure out, if we're supposed to baptize them, what is this that we're supposed to be doing? What is so integral that Jesus has connected this with our going into the world? So I want to point out to you what I think are about five things of what baptism is in our tradition. But first of all, I want us to understand that baptism is, we understand it as an outward and visible sign of an inward grace and a means by which we receive the same. Again, the emphasis that we keep coming back to in the sacraments is this word, grace. It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and a spiritual grace. John Wesley said that it's the initiatory sacrament which enters us into the covenant with God. It's that place where we come into this. It's like our introductory rite into our relationship with God. And Andrew Thompson says in his book that baptism is the entry point into an entire way of life. For me, when my parents chose to have me baptized, and, you know, in our tradition today and, you know, 50 years later, there's a lot of folks who come to the church who, they were not baptized as they were kids. They were not baptized as youth. And in a sense, that's okay, because grace isn't dependent upon baptism. It's not dependent upon baptism, because grace happens regardless of what we do, because God, who is the author of grace, is always doing everything in his power to show that he is for us. He is for us. But what is baptism? Five things. First of all, baptism is first and foremost about Jesus. It is first and foremost about Jesus, about who he is, about what he has done. It's not really about us. It's about Jesus, what he has done, about his grace that goes before us, his grace that initiates our ability to even respond to having a relationship with him. It is about Jesus giving his life for us so that we might be baptized or initiated or incorporated into this thing called the body of Christ. It is first and foremost all about Jesus. In Colossians 2:12, it says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." So again, notice the emphasis on Christ, about what he was done. We were raised to new life. Why? Because of what Jesus has done. John Wesley said, "Baptism is meant for all people because God's grace is meant for all people." I like that. Baptism is meant for all people because God's grace is meant for all people. And we see this all throughout Scripture. One of the reasons that we baptize infants is because, and youth and children, is because we see it biblically. We see that Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for unto them belongs the kingdom of God." We see in Acts where people came to faith in Christ. The entire household came to faith in Christ, and they baptized everyone in the house. Now, what that tells us is that baptism is integral. It is integral in a sense of being a part of the family and being raised in the Christian faith. And there are traditions, again, who would disagree with that. And that's really okay. That's what I want you to understand. It is okay that if we don't agree on one of those issues like this. But in our tradition, we believe, since it's first and foremost about Jesus, it's about then a response that we make. And so we want to celebrate the life that we have in Christ. So, but it's first and foremost about Jesus. Number two, baptism shows that we are connected to Jesus and to his church. We are connected to Jesus and his church. Galatians 3:27 says, "For all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes." That baptism is that place, it's that moment where we are connected to Jesus and to his church. That's why it's a communal event for us. That means that's why the parents make a vow. That means that's why the church makes a vow. Because it recognizes the fact that it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a village to keep the rest of us going as well. Because we've got to stay connected and in it. Because here's what happens. If we don't stay connected to Christ and his body, we begin to walk. And it's actually not too hard. And many of you have lives to testify to this, that you might have walked away for a really long time. That's why we got to be connected, and that's why baptism for us is a connected moment. We understand in this connectedness that Jesus' baptism shows us how baptism is important for all those who follow him. One of the questions that people always ask in a Bible study when we get to this point, they're like, but why did Jesus get baptized? And I think it's really simple. I think it's to show that he identifies with us. And he wants us to identify with him. And so Jesus was baptized, and we get baptized. Letter B, Jesus' final instructions to his disciples are about baptism and how it factors into the spread of the church. So there must be something integral. There must be something important about being baptized to the spread of the church. We see it all over the place. And again, most appropriately in the Great Commission, where Jesus is going to the world, making disciples in my name, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mark them, is what he's saying. Which leads to number three. Baptism is a sign of God's love. It is a sign of God's love. Andrew writes, baptism unites us with Christ and gives us a promise of the resurrection to come. But it also shows us that God intends to save us in the present through the power of the Spirit. One of the things we know about water is water gives life and it gives death. Without water, we die. We know that when we look scripturally, we see that water was both a tool of destruction and water is a tool of life. And in that life, in that place of baptism, we acknowledge both of those. That when we are baptized and in our vows and in our things that we say that we are dying to ourselves and being raised to new life in Christ. The water in and of itself, that's why in our tradition we sprinkle, we pour, we immerse. The water in and of itself is not efficacious. Didn't you love that word? It's not efficacious, but the water is a sign, it's a symbol of God's resurrecting, life-giving power. Represents the new life. It's a sign of the new life. It identifies us as his. That's why in our tradition, we say we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It identifies us as God's. And in that, we are reminded of his grace, that dying and raising up, we are being raised to new life in Christ. And it also represents that it's a part of discipleship, is that we walk in resurrection life. We walk in newness of life. Baptism is not the be-all, end-all. Baptism is a part of our discipleship or our relationship with Jesus. It's a part of that process of growing deeper and growing stronger, that the roots of our faith go deep into the grace and the love of God. And baptism for us is a sign of that. It's a sign of this God who loves us more than we could possibly even imagine, whose grace goes before us, comes alongside of us, and his grace continues to nudge us and direct us and push us and pull us and tug us so that we can get to the place where he wants us to be. Number four. Oh, actually, the verse from Romans 6:4. That Paul says, for when we died and were buried with Christ in baptism, again, thinking about what that does, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Again, that newness of life, that part of discipleship, that part of growing in that relationship with Jesus. Number four, baptism is both a blessing and a benefit. to the person being baptized. This is a part of a whole life discipleship process because there's a promise involved by the people, there's a promise involved by the parents, there's a promise involved by the church. If it's a believer who comes to faith in Christ and had never been baptized but is being baptized in that moment, it is a promise made by them. And it's in the midst of that that it is both a blessing and a benefit. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says that Christ loved the church and he gave up his life to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Paul tells us that the experience of baptism is both a blessing and it's a benefit. Letter A, in baptism, we experience the washing away of original sin through Jesus' atoning death on a cross. Because the problem is we're born into this world messed up. And it doesn't take parents long to figure that out, does it? Me. Mine. No. We just know that, right? So the effects of sin that happened with our original parents get carried onto us. It's one of the core doctrines of the Christian faith, original sin. We are just all marred and messed up by that. And baptism reminds us that in Christ, that original sin gets washed away, that we are made new in Christ. Letter B, that in baptism, we are baptized into Christ, and thereafter we live as part of his body, the church. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, being a part of the church is one of the greatest blessings God has ever given me. It's kept me from detouring too far. I've detoured a little. Not much, though. You're not supposed to laugh at that one. It's kept me in a direction that I needed to go. It's given me a family. When I was in my business career, one of the things I had to do was I had to move because my company merged divisions together. And so if I wanted to still have a job that was a good job, I had to move. And they offered me a position in Houston, Texas. That was 1,018 miles from my house. And I knew no one in Texas. But when I moved to Texas, one of the first things I did was like, man, I got to find a church. I got to find a church. And I found this amazing church that just loved on me and nurtured me and encouraged me and supported me and loved on me. And it was out of that nurturing, amazing place that I was able to hear the voice of God saying, hey, get out of retail. It was the voice of heaven. And follow me. And I did. And I sold everything, sold my house. I moved to Kentucky to go to school. It was just amazing. But I did that out of the blessing of being a part of a church. And I know your stories. And I know without the church, man, life would just not be very good. Doesn't mean that it's great all the time, but I can't imagine without having my family, my church, to be there. Can you? It's a blessing. It's a benefit. And let her see in baptism, something mysterious, regenerative really happens. One of the things that I love about our tradition is we don't try to explain God fully because we can't. There is a mystery to God. There's a mystery in the sacraments when we take the bread and we take the cup. When there's water placed on us or we are immersed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, something happens. And the best that the early church fathers could come up with is they said, it's a mysterion. That's their way of saying, God, it would be put another way, that God is intimately involved in that in ways that transcend our thinking. That makes baptism a blessing and a benefit. And then the last one, and this one is a really important one. This is really important. Baptism is a once for all time event. It is a once for all time event. Why? Ephesians 4:5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Thompson says that baptism is our initiation into the Christian faith. And once, I love this, once we've been adopted into God's family, we never get kicked out. Is that not an amazing way to talk about baptism? Once we're initiated in, once we're marked, once we're baptized, we are adopted into the family of God and we can never be kicked out. That baptism is when we begin walking in the ways of God. So let me try to flesh that out and then we'll be done. About why we're pretty adamant, actually, in our tradition about baptism being a once for all time thing. Number one, because Ephesians says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay? That makes it grounded biblically. Another reason is because we are all on different phases in our journey with Christ, right? Let me ask you a question. Are you different today than you were a year ago? I'm hoping to see a lot of heads up and down. Are you different today than you were 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am different today than I was 54 years ago. I am closer to Jesus today than I was 54 years ago. And what baptism recognizes is that that grace of God is always there, and I don't need to redo it. Because we are always continuing. See, here, we're either growing closer to Jesus or we're kind of walking away a little bit. But since he never walks away from us, he's always right there going, I'm here. And what baptism recognizes, what grace recognizes, is that it's part of our journey with Christ. And you don't need to redo it. Because truthfully, probably all of us could say, since I'm different today than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 50 years ago, I could say, man, I knew nothing back then. I could even say that 20 years ago. I'd be like, man, I knew nothing 20 years ago, and I did not get this whole thing about what the Christian faith was all about. I'd say that's more like 30 years ago. I didn't get it. So should I redo this because now I really get it? And one of my mentors said, told me a long time ago, he's like, no, you celebrate it. You celebrate the fact that you have grown in Christ. Why did I grow in Christ? One of the big reasons is because 54 years ago, my parents stood before a group like this, and a pastor said, what name is given to this child? George Mitchell Wasson. And they were asked questions about their faith. And then they were asked, will you do everything in your power to raise this boy in a Christian environment until he can profess his faith openly and on his own? And my parents said, yes. We will. And the pastor took some water, dipped his hand in it, put his hand on my forehead, and made the sign of the cross, and said, George Mitchell Wasson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He marked me as one of Jesus's followers. And here I am today. Baptism is a high and holy moment in our church. Whether you are an infant, a child, a youth, or an adult, it is a moment when we celebrate the grace of God that has been, that is, and that will always be active in our lives. Always. Because grace is God's way of saying, I am for you in every way. And so I appreciate and am grateful for the sacraments of the church, Holy Communion and baptism, because they show us deeply how much God is for us and in it for us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us these rites, these experiences, these sacred moments where we have the opportunity to, in a mysterious but tangible sort of way, experience your grace. And I pray, oh God, that each time we take communion, each time we participate in a baptism, that we will be reminded, that we will be reminded of your promises, that we're reminded that you are for us in every way, and that as we respond to you in relationship, that we will be blessed and benefited as we walk with you and in step with your Spirit. So, Lord, on this day, that we give you thanks for moms and mom-like figures in our lives, we also give you thanks for your church and for the mysterious moments of celebration that remind us and help us to experience anew your grace, because it's all about your grace. In Jesus' name.